Rabbi Yisai, we're up to the final conclusion in Sefer Yoyna. We finally understood the whole shock of Atariah with Yoyna and why he didn't want to go and what happened. The Sefer Sheldovo, Anshin Ninve did tshuva. So we'll see what level tshuva they did. There's a fascinating malbum, because Chazal teaches us they actually didn't do tshuva shlema. In fact, according to the Yalkut Shemini, the Anshei Ninveh, all they really did was they fixed the gzela, like it's meduyik in the Pesukim. They stopped stealing. Beinu machaveira they fixed. Avodah Zarah was still b'kol chaymai. They still were worshipping Avodah Zarah. But l'maisa, they did some level of tshuva, and Ribbono Shel Olam was mechaper meratz on them. And Yoyna, for some reason now, Toiv Moisi Michaye. He'd rather not be alive. That's how far Yoyna ben Amitai goes in his crying out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So like I said yesterday, it has to be, whatever this tzar was, he felt that what he just did with Ninveh was a terrible thing to Klal Yisrael. We'll see in Chazal, Hitaka felt that way. He felt that he was an instrument for terrible things that will unravel the Klal Yisrael. That was his tzar. To the point of Moisi Mechaya. I'd rather not be here. We'll see what that term is. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives Yoyna one final lesson. The lesson with the famous Kikoyen. That's how the Sefer ends. Yoyna places himself outside of the city, outside of Ninveh. He builds himself a shtickle sukkah. If you look in the Malbim, it's fascinating. The Malbim learns that this was like a level of, he felt he's like a Ritzeach, Yoyna. He felt he caused destruction to Klal Yisrael. He felt like he's a Ritzeach and he has to go to Golos. You hear? See, just like a Ritzeach who kills somebody b'shogeg has to go to Begoyla outside of where he lives. And even if he lives in an Ari Miklat, he has to be Begoyla year to year. He has to go from the city he's living in to another city. Because part of the Ari Miklat is not just the city, it's the fact that you're a Goyla, that you're not at home. Right? You have to be in Golos. So that's what the Malbim says, that this was a gather of Hoylech Legolos, the Henish Atzmoy, but Oynish Golos. You hear the story? He gave himself an Oynish Golos. He even goes why he went to the east. Why did he go punk to the east? It says he went to the east of the city. So he says, Hichlid Livnois Leisuka b'Mizrach O'Yir. He says, because since he was going to roll Yisrael, Henish Atzmoy Kiritzeach. Ukamoy Adam Arishin. He went after Adam Arishin with the whole chet of the Eitz Hadas. He's going to miss it to the world. So what does it say? It says he went Mikedem Legan Eden. He was sent to the east. So too, the Kleyoko brings down also. Everybody's goyla to the Mizrach. If you look at the Ari Miklot, Kol Hayeg Nefesh Bishgoga, okay, it's always Legolos, Goluyim LeMizrach. They go to the Mizrach. So, this was the gather. He was so depressed about his matzav that he felt his Chayev Golos. That's how depressed he was. So he said, Toiv Moisi Mechayev. So Hashem comes l'chorit to be mefayis, or to teach him a lesson. What does Hashem do? Yoyna builds himself a hut. Vayiman Hashem kikoyen. Hashem puts over there a plant, very fast growing, and the plant grows over his little sukkah, like hidlo v'sagefen v'sadalas from the sechah sukkah. And now he's all shady. It's very shady. Vayismach simcha gedela. The pasuk says he was very happy. So happy. It's a yomtiv. It's a yomtiv. Now all of a sudden all the tzoros are gone. He was bizar. He was toiv moisi michayai. Now, simcha gedayla. What simcha did he have here? He's happy what he has some shade. Vayiman Hashem, after Banshum did the brought his plant to give him shade, Hashem brought a bug, a worm, and it consumed everything. By the morning, everything was gone. The sun was beating down on him. Nochamo! Zokt Yehine, what does Yehine say? Vayiman Hashem toyeles, vayivash hakikoyen, vayikizroyach Hashem is zokt down. Vayishal nafshei lomos. We're back in the depression. What's going on here? This is like a mental condition. Rachmana litzlan. It's a mental condition. What they call today, bipolar. You could go up and down and up and down. He's happy. He's not. He's toiv moisi michayai. He asked the Rabbeinu Shalom, please kill me. That's how the parak starts. He asked the Rabbeinu Shalom, please kill me. Vayispalu Hashem. Vayoy mehona. He davens to Hashem, please. Please kill me. Ata Hashem kachas nafshi mimeni. Please. Please. That's what he's asking. The Eibishter gives him the kikoyim. Vayismach simcha gedoyla. Now it's a yomtiv. So you went from waiting for death, davening to die, to simcha gedoyla. Now the plant goes away. Toiv moisi michayai. So Rabbi Yankiv was medayik that the second time that Yehuda did that, he wasn't talking to the Rabbi Shlom. He was just talking to himself. Now, at the beginning of the parak, Yehuda talks to Rabbi Shlom. Vayispalu Hashem. It's a tefillah. He said a kapitel tefillah. Please, kill me. Right? Here, if you look at the pasuk, it just says, Vayisalu. He fainted. He got overheated. Vayishal esnaf shalom. And he said, Toiv moisi michayai. Here it doesn't say vayispal. So Biankiv Zatzal was medayik. He wasn't davening to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The second time around, he wasn't davening to the Rabbeinu Shalom. He was talking to himself. He said he wouldn't have davened for such a thing. Anyway, so Rabbeinu Shalom tells him, you feel bad about this kikoyen. This is what you feel bad about. This plant. You didn't put any koichas into it. You did nothing. It just came here. Between one night it came and the next night it was gone. Big deal. I shouldn't have rachmonis on Nineveh, such a huge city. Over 100,000. I shouldn't have rachmonas. Ubehem rabbe. Interesting. This is the Rabbeinu Shalom's response. The Novi doesn't tell us how in the world is this going to make Yehuda feel any better. Okay. He's in a terrible depression. Then he gets very happy over this tree. Then the tree goes away. He's very sad again. And now the Rabbeinu Shalom tells him, you see, what happened? Did anything change now in Yoina? This experience of the tree with this, what happened afterwards? Doesn't say. That's how it ends. Sefer Yoina ends. So we have to look into Chazal. What was Yoina's conclusion? So I'll read you the Yalkut Shemaini right here. Yalkut Shemaini says, what happened here? Doesn't say what happened. Zok the Yalkut Shemaini has a Boisei Shah. Yeah? That moment when Hashem did this whole plant thing and told him, you see what, I shouldn't have Rachmanis. You have Rachmanis on the plant. Listen to this. Zogu Einov. We're talking about the eyes of Yoina. Yoina ben Amitai. His eyes ran with tears. The mois kamoto. It was like raining tears. He was so beside him. He was so taken by this whole event that he was mamish, crying hysterically. Why are you crying? Zokta, what, yesh lo chatzal? The whole shock of Italian. Sagt er, Omar Jaino, Hane Golomecho Bemidas Arachamim. Jaino started davening, Hashem, have Rachmanis on Ninveh. This changed his life, Jaino. Jaino now changed his whole life. He cried over the Kikoyan. The Eibishter told him, why are you crying? What did you put into it? Now all of a sudden, Jaino says, Haneg olamecho b'midas arachamim v'chsiv v'ashem alekeinu arachamim v'asliches. Help him, all of a sudden he flips. It's a new Yoina. Now the end of the Sefer, this last experience that Yoina had. The rabbi said, do you hear what's going on here? The end of the Sefer is the least eventful experience in the whole Sefer Yoina. He's flying from fish to fish. First he's in a male fish, then the Rebbeinu Shem sees he's not Mesoyechel, so the Rebbeinu Shem has him thrown into a dogo. Remember we had that, the female fish. As I told you then, to live with your wife when she's pregnant, it's a whole experience. And a woman is pregnant. Now if a woman's pregnant with multiples, I've dealt with Talmidim sometimes, the wives are pregnant with multiple babies, then it's more of an avodah. I'm not taking away the woman as the main avodah. But even to live, to kriech an arayin, imagine being in the stomach with a couple of babies. Now imagine being in a fish with millions of fish in the babies. And Yoina ben Amitai nish zolgu ein of the moyas kamota. He's not crying. The Rebbeinu Shem had to have him put into the fish because till the Rebbeinu Shem put him into the female fish, he wasn't even davening. He was very comfortable with what he was doing. The whole storm, they threw him off the boat. Some big Leviosim comes, the size of a Leviosim, swallows him up. No problem. He's not saying, as Ogonish, he's not saying a capital to him. He's not saying a capital to him. The Baruch Shem hasn't spit out from there into the other fish. Still, Yaina is strong. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh. He doesn't want them to do tshuva. He's a kitrig on Klal Yisrael. Oh. Millions of fish alach in the stomach of this dog, or finally he starts davening. But he doesn't daven to go to Nineveh. He davens to get out of there. The Baruch Shem hasn't spit out. He still doesn't want to go to Nineveh. He goes, they do tshuva. If everything is said and done, Yoina is still toib moisi mechayai. So the Baruch Shem makes a plant. He makes a yomtiv. The Baruch Shem takes away a plant. He goes into Avelos. And the Baruch Shem says, look, you have Rachmanos on this plant. I shouldn't have Rachmanos on Nineveh. Oh! Oh! The light turned on. Now Yoin has a whole different change of heart. He says, Hashem, Malkei HaRachamim HaSlichas. Shav Rachmanos on the people in Nineveh. What in the world is going on here? What's the tzachta? Mamish Merafi Sigra. All thing is Merafi Sigra. From the beginning until the end. So obviously there's Ein L'Davar Sof, and it's, as you get older, or those of you that have time now, if you have extra time, you should look up Mishnas Rabbah and Chelek Beis. He has a whole piece on what the lesson of Yoina and the Kikoyan is, and based on how much work you put in, that's your Iskashrus, and a whole different Musar Vart that he doesn't really address the issues that we're raising here, but he just down learns different things from the Kikoyan. That's Kedai to see in the Mishnas Rabbah. But I think that there's really another important lesson here to be had. That's for sure. Yoina ben Amitai was a maimon, the spitz maimon in the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And everything he did was oiskaten, the kutzi shel yud. Everything he did was, in his mind, what he was supposed to do at the time. Each step was the right step that he had to take. Till the end. And when the Anshei Nineveh did a shtikl tshuva and the Rebbeinu Shlomo was makabel the tshuva, so the Malbim says really the Eibishter shouldn't have been makabel the tshuva. They really didn't do tshuva shleima. And the Malbim says that Yoina was afraid because Yoina knew Binevu also that whoever this king is and his people, they're going to end up taking Klal Yisrael into Golus. It's all shailah who this was. If Nineveh was Sancheriv, that's one version that he was Sancheriv, the other one is Melech Ashur, Pari, there's all different versions. But this kingdom ended up doing tremendous sorrows for Klal Yisrael. So when they did a halal b'tshuva, and Hashem accepted it and didn't destroy them, Yoina looked at it now like, through him, that's what I'm getting to, not because of him. He knew it's not him, he's a maimon. He was the messenger. But through him, the Rabbanu Shel Olam is causing destruction on Klal Yisrael. That's the way he viewed it. The Gemara says, which means that when Hashem has something to deliver, something positive, he delivers it in a positive, through a positive force. Something negative gets delivered through a negative force. There's as many ways to deliver. But positive things get delivered through positive people. And negative things is through negative people. When Yoina ben Amittai stood outside the city, the Radak and many of the Mefarshim talk about, he was waiting to see what's going to happen. It looked like they're going to be saved. He was waiting chutz liyir. In his mind, he looked at it like, if they're going to be saved, if Anshei Nineveh are going to be saved, and it's going to end up hurting Klal Yisrael, he was the Megalgul Chayv Al Yidei Chayev. He was the instrument. Exactly like Moshe Rabbeinu came to Hashem with a taina. Lo mazeh shalachtoni. Me'oz bosi l'daber b'shim chayeh lo mazeh. The end of Parsha Shmois. Moshe complains to Hashem. He wasn't complaining on the darkei Hashem. He wasn't saying, Hashem, you're wrong. Chas v'shalom. He was saying, Lo mazeh shalachtoni. Why was I the one sent to do such a thing? Why was I the chayev? What did I do to be the one to deliver a bad thing for Klal Yisrael? That was Moshe's time. I believe Yoina ben Amittai had the same time. When the Goyim Adam, when the Reitzeach B'Shegeg kills somebody, as the Gemara discusses in Maseches Magas, it's also, he kills somebody B'Shegeg, somebody who deserves Misa. Right? The person deserves Misa. The Gemara even says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mizamen, the right people to the right places. Right? But Lamaisa, he was the instrument for the person to be killed. For that alone, he has to clap al chayt. Why was I an instrument for that purpose? That's what bothered Yoina. Yoina said, if my mission in life was to facilitate bad things for Klai, so I would rather not to be alive. I understand that's the shlichus. But on Lamaisa, I ended up being the chayev that was megalgal and chayev al yidei chayev. That was what he felt bad. It makes sense why he said, Toiv Maisi Michayai. Because this is my mission. He viewed it as his mission. But then I had a negative mission. I would have rather not been on this mission. Exactly like his father, the Avan Avim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lo mazeh shlachtoni. I don't want to be that person to deliver that idea. By the way, Reb Yankiv Zatzal beautifully explains, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go on the shlichus to begin with. When Moshe told Hashem, I don't want to go out to save Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, what's pshat? He says, because Moshe knew that this was going to be a temporary geula. Klal Yisrael weren't worried to be redeemed. Rabbi Yankov actually learns when Moshe first asked for a week, Itaka was only going to be for a week. It wasn't a lie. All the Mefarshim asked this. Why did he say a week? It's supposed to be. Why did he lie to Paray? There's many different explanations given. Rabbi Yankov learned it was Taka for a week. Taka was for a week. And then, through the Kriyas Yamsam, through everything, it was the Shtarvev that we became worthy. Taka was for a week. Moshe didn't want to do a temporary gula. He didn't want to be a goyel that's not really taking Klal Yisrael out of Sheba. He didn't want to be that person. He didn't want to be that person. So Yoina ben Amittai was Yoina ben Amittai. When the Rabbanu Shel Olam made a nes shaloi b'derech hateva, to protect Yoina, he took that as a siman min shemayim, that things are going to work out properly. Obviously, I'm a zakai. Obviously, this mission wasn't a mission of chayiv, this was a mission of zakai. Because the Rabbanu Shel Olam, as the Malbim explains, doesn't make a nes shaloi b'derech hateva on something which is a negative event. Memela, The fact that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam now made Bederech Neis, that's why it was Simcha Simcha Gedolah. It wasn't Simcha Gedolah because he had a shade. It wasn't Simcha Gedolah. The Simcha Gedolah that Yoinah had was that to him this was a simen. This was a simen min Shemayim. That his mission was taka, what it was supposed to be. That's what the Kikoyim was sent for. Memele v'ayusmach Simcha Gedolah. But then the Tolas came. Tolas got rid of the Kikoyim. So now he started questioning. Vayomer, he told himself, maybe Ataka was right. He didn't go back to Vayisparu Hashem. He didn't go back to what he was at the beginning, where he felt he was a negative messenger. Now he was confused. But the fact that everything turned dark now, he looked at, okay, so it's Megalgul Choyv Al Yidei Chayv. He looked at it again like it's negative. What was Hashem's message to Yoinah? Hashem's message to Yoinah was a very simple and powerful message. Very simple, powerful message. We know that the Parah Adumah is a kapora for the chet of the eagle. Everybody asks, what's exactly the kapora of the chet of the eagle? There's many different explanations, many different remozim. But there's a simple explanation that I always like to give to explain how the paradum is a mechapa for the chet eagle. And I think it explains this last message, and the beautifully Yadiyalka Chemoini says that Yoinah now changed his whole idea. The way I explain paradum is very simple. How many people of Maisa worship the eagle as of according to Chazal? A couple of thousand people actually worship the eagle as of. What was the time on the rest of Klal Yisrael? We weren't Meichen. We didn't object. And that's why, when Moshe came down from the mountain, and he said, Mila Hashem Eli, we still had an opportunity to object. Our main chet, the main chet of Klal Yisrael was that we didn't object. The masses of Klal Yisrael were nichshel in not objecting. That was the massive chet, that we didn't object. Okay. So, Levi, Shevet Levi got up and they objected. They were misakin. They objected. And that's why they were misakin. From them came kahuna. Right? We didn't object. We didn't care. We didn't care. The Beis HaLevi is medayik. Eile Elohecha Yisrael. It doesn't say Ze Eli. It says Eile Elohecha. The Beis HaLevi is medayik. They let the other guy, it's your God. I don't hold it to God. For you it's okay. It's your God. Meaning, we didn't care that the other one holds it's his God. It wasn't Gantz Klaiso. Gantz Klaiso were okay with the people saying that it's their God. We were okay with Eilu Le'echa Yisrael. Yeah, fine. Le'echa Yisrael. What's Parah Adumah? Parah Adumah is the exact opposite. Eilu Azov was, let Yana do a chet. I'm staying clean. Eilu Le'echa. I don't care about the other guy. What's Parah Adumah? Parah Adumah is mamish v'nahapachu. Parah Adumah is metamei es hatahoyrim u'metayer es hatameim. The person who gets involved with the Parah Adumah, he gathers up the ashes, he does it in the Parah Adumah, he becomes tamei. And the guy who gets spritzed on becomes tar. It's the opposite of the Egel Azov. It's Boise Isho, Boise Isma. It's going back to the same chet and it's fixing it. You understand? You're doing the opposite. By the Egel Azov, I stay clean, you could be dirty, I don't care about you. By the Parah Adumah, I make sure that you become Torah. I'll get dark. I'll make sure you become Torah. That's the biggest kapora for the chet of Egel. I wanted to tie it. That's why there's no problem of Enka Tegan Nasa San Yeger. Many of them before Hashem ask. But Moshe Darshan says, Tov Yehim, Utekanech Tzoyos Beno. That the idea of the Parah Adumah is we take the cow, and it's Mechapra for the calf, right? Normally we say, Enka Tegan Asa San Yehim. We say, don't take even gold, because it's Meramas to the Egel Azov. So why do we take the same min? So I said very poshut. San Yehim means you want to try to be Mephias Hashem. Mephias. Don't use the thing that you did the chet to try to be mephayis to Rebbeinu Shel Olam, right? But
By tshuva it says fakelt. The Rambam says eizet tshuva shlema. What's real tshuva? The Rambam says you go back to that same ma'aseh. Meaning if a guy does a chet when he's 20 years old, and he's oisik in arayas, okay? And then when he's 105 in a nursing home, he claps al chet on gili arayas, it's not the best tshuva. Because when he's in his wheelchair in fool's view, he's not having Yehurim Rohim. Right? He's not downloading movies. When he's 105 and fools you in his wheelchair, he belongs to the Chevres of Mishnayis, listening to the Shiurim. The Rambam Zok, Tshuva Shleima is, when you're young and you have your Kreches Uboi, so Isha, you have the same availability to do the Chet, you do Tshuva. That's Emes Tshuva. So the Por Aduma is Tshuva. By Tshuva there's a Mila, Boi, so Isha. You're fixing it. If you're fixing the Chet, there's no problem of Enkategan Asas. Then there's no problem. Olam Chesed Yibani. That was the only way to eradicate the Chet Egel, to be Misaka the Chet Egel, is to do Shpitz Chesed. Shpitz Chesed is the tikkun, is the biggest tikkun. The Rabban Hashem told Yaina. What did Rabban Hashem told Yaina? Rabban Hashem told Yaina, you're busy having achmanis, you're busy looking at a tree, there was a nace, and now it went away. You're looking at the kitrug that was on this kikoyim. That's what you're looking at. Right? But the fact remains that the energy that runs this world is chesed. Chesed is the energy that runs this world. That's the tachlis of the tafkid oilam. That's why it's not shaykh to say shira masay yodet tevim b'yamatam emrim shira. You can't say shira in this world, right? On something which is a hepech of the reason of the whole energy of how the world is running. Hashem told Yaina, you had rachmanis on what? On one, there was one simen, there was a simen toiv here, right? There was a kikoy and it gave you a good omen. It looked like it was a good thing for you, right? It was just came here yesterday. You already have Rachmanis on it. Right? The Baruch Hashem told him, imagine Rachmanis on a human being. Imagine Rachmanis on a city. Rachmanis, if you were the cause to have me have Rachmanis, that's going to bring bracha to Klal Yisrael. That's not a klal with Klal Yisrael. It could be that the reason why Sancheiriv wasn't Matzlich to Takabi Machrivas was because of Yoina ben Amitai. Because chesed only brings bracha. Chesed only brings... That's when Yaina got up and he said, Atahu Bala Rachamim. He realized, kindness is always a blessing. Kindness is never a curse. Yaina was looking at, Klai Yisrael, Umas Olam, what's going on? Hashem told him, Rachmanis is the energy of the world. It's not a question, who, what, when. Rachmanis is the Koyach Olam. And if you caused me to have rachamim on the whole city, that's only, if you were a facilitator of that, that's only going to bring bracha to Klal Yisrael. And it could very well be, again, we don't know the secrets. Hashem knows the secrets. It could be that it was through Yoina causing the Anshei Ninveh to do tshuva, causing Hashem to have rachamim on them, why the goyim were not successful in causing the ultimate churban, like David HaMelech said, Shofach HaMoseh al Itzim V'Avonim, that L'maisa the churban, Baruch Hashem, wasn't Mechal HaKlal Yisrael. Could be it was that chesed, that schus of chesed. That's what I always say by Yankov Avinu. Yankov Avinu called Binyamin the son of strength. It's a strange thing, if you look at the Pesukim there, right? Rachel dies, right? So Rachel calls Binyamin, rightfully so, Ben Oini, the son of my pain. She died. Tzeis Nafsha, she died when she delivered him. Yankiv Avinu calls him Binyamin, the son of strength. Ben Yamin, Miloshin Koyach. Isn't that strange? I don't know if it bothered you. When I was a young boy, this bothered me. So, mainly Yankiv Avinu doesn't want to call him Ben Oini, I understand. Call him Menachem. Should be a Nechome. Right? Call him. Call him after Rachel. Call him a name that's Mesamel Rachel. I understand. But to call him? The son of strength? So I tied it that fakert, that was the Holy Spirit of Yankiv Avinu. There are two ways to look at it. One way to look at it, Rachel Imenu died when she gave birth to Binyamin. See, he facilitated the Misa. Through him, this whole thing was a bad event. That's one way. The other way to look is not like that. The other way to look at it is, Rachel Imenu had a zman, and she had a shlichus to do. And until that shlichus was done, she couldn't die. She had a schus to be here to have a binyamin. If there wouldn't have been a need for binyamin, she would have died after Yosef. Binyamin was the cause of her life extending to binyamin. He was the son of strength. He was the Benjamin. He wasn't the son that created death. He was the son of strength. That was one of the great Rosh Hashivas in Europe. He was supported by his father-in-law for many years. His father-in-law was a chashuva guy, wealthy person, and he kept on working to support his son-in-law. So he, even though he was already older, he was working, so he had enough money for himself. He worked for the sole purpose to keep his son-in-law in learning. And this son-in-law was one of the big Rosh Hashivas in Europe. Anyway, his wife kept on pressuring, saying, you're older, you're 80, you're 85. She kept on saying, it's Higi Azman, it's time for you to stop. And he told her, who says that that I'm supporting my son-in-law? My son-in-law could be supporting me. Could be I'm alive to keep my son-in-law going. How do you know? You're looking at it like, I'm working to support my son-in-law. No, I'm being kept alive to support my son-in-law. Who says who's giving life? Anyway, she put pressure and pressure and pressure. Finally, he was in the mid-80s. He was a little schwach already. You know what? He gave in to his wife. He called in his son-in-law. His son-in-law was already at the age he could have accepted a rabbanus. He could accept it. He could become self-sufficient. So he called in his son-in-law. Rabbi said he called in his son-in-law on a Sunday. He was nifter Sunday night. He called him in to tell him that as of now, I'm stopping to work, I'm retiring. You have your own achrayas. He was nifter that night. His Rebbetzin got up out of Leviathan and she said, how true were your words that you're not supporting him, he's supporting you. So Yankov Avinu said, Benjamin, he's the son of strength. The Baruch Hashem was telling Yaina, the world, the tachlis abuyas chesed. And you felt it. You felt the aveda when you lost, when a little thing was lost. You felt the kitrug, you felt it. And you were right. There was a midas hadin. You were right for feeling bad. The Baruch Hashem was telling Yaina, me having Rachmanus Aninze is only a siman bracha for the world. Memela Yaina started davening, there should be racham. And like I said, this I don't know. It could be whatever schusim we had to survive. Part of that was Yoyin and Shlichas going to them. It's Ken Zayin. That alone was the chelik. And it could be that's why in Yom Kippur, we dafka read Sefer Yoyin. We brought down a bunch of reasons when we started the Sefer. But Pesiyim, we could say as a hadlan here on the Sefer of Yoyin, we could say it could be that's the reason why we read it by Yom Kippur, by Mincha, before the end of the day. Because the end, the main tikkun that a person has to make on Yom Kippur is Aveiro Shebeinodom Lachaveiro. You know, there's a fascinating chido. The chido says, Aveiro Shebeinodom Lachaveiro is Ein Yom HaKippur Mechaper. Aveiro Shebeinodom Lachaveiro is Yom HaKippur Mechaper. Poshut, you learn, it means that if a person has 100 Aveiros, 50 of them Beinodom Lachaveiro, for that he gets rid of it. But Aveiro Shebeinodom Lachaveiro, you have to be Moratzi, your friend. The other 50 have to be Moratzi, your friend. The Chido says, if you don't resolve them, even the ones that are Bein Adam L'Makim. He says, it's like a mum. It's a mum in you. So I once wanted to say, Pshat in the Chido. I wanted to say, because tshuva means you're coming to Hashem al rachamim. That's the whole yisrael of tshuva, have rachamim. You yourself have to be a Baal Rachman to ask Hashem to have Rachman. If you don't care about your ben adam l'chaveru, you don't care about the other person. So you're not being misakin your midas harachamim. How in the world you come to Hashem yishev rachamim on somebody else? So that could be, if the Sefer Yoin is ending with Spitz midas rachamim that Hashem is furthering, Hashem is demanding from us to have rachmanas on the shayim. It's a time for us to be mechazik our midas harachamim. Kol shekein ben adam l'chaveru. Kol shekein ben ish l'ish l'reil.